The fluorescent hum of the marketing suite usually sounds like productivity, but today it sounds like a swarm of hornets trapped in my skull. My thumb is hovering over the send button on the Outlook draft, the blue light of the monitor reflecting in my retinas until they ache. It started with a LinkedIn optimization. That's what Gary called it. Gary, with the salt and pepper temples and the framed degrees from schools I couldn't afford, leaning over my shoulder with the scent of expensive cedarwood and espresso. He told me my profile looked juvenile. He said that if I wanted the VP of strategy to take me seriously, I needed to project authority, not just competence. He offered to use his high-end Canon during the lunch break because the company headshots were sanitized and soulless. I believed him. I actually felt grateful. The first set was fine. I wore the charcoal blazer, the one that makes me feel like I have a spine of rebar. We went to the rooftop garden. The wind caught my hair, and Gary kept clicking, telling me to chin down, eyes up, look like I own the city. When he sent them to me, they were stunning. I looked like a version of myself that didn't live in a studio apartment with a leaking radiator. But then came the follow-up email at 9 p.m. on a Tuesday. Great start, he wrote. But the board wants to see approachability. These are too stiff. Let's do a natural set. Wear something less corporate. Something that shows the person behind the title. The air in the office is too thin now. I can hear the click-clack of keyboards from the bullpen, each one a hammer hitting a nail. My heart is a frantic bird hitting the walls of my chest. I should have seen the shift. The natural shoot took place in the empty conference room after the cleaning crew left. Gary told me to lose the blazer. He said the silk blouse was better, but maybe I could unbutton the top one to soften the neckline. It was for the lifestyle segment of the internal newsletter, he claimed. I felt the sweat prickling under my arms, the silk sticking to my skin. He was standing closer this time. I could see the tiny broken capillaries in his nose. More life in the eyes, he whispered. The lens of the camera, a giant, unblinking eye. He told me to sit on the edge of the mahogany table, to lean back, to look relaxed. I wasn't relaxed. I was vibrating. I was a wire under too much tension, waiting to snap. He kept talking about my marketable essence, a phrase that felt like a layer of grease over my skin. He sent those photos to my personal email, not my work one. He said the server shouldn't be cluttered with high-res files. I looked at them alone in the dark of my living room, the shadows of the blinds casting bars across my face. I didn't look like a strategist. I looked like a target. Then came the third request, the one that turned the buzzing in my head into a scream. Gary called me into his office, the heavy oak door clicking shut with a finality that made my stomach drop. He didn't sit behind his desk. He sat in the guest chair right next to mine. He didn't have the camera, but he had his iPad. He showed me a mood board, low lighting, soft textures, workout gear. We're launching the Wellness at Work initiative, he said, his voice smooth as polished stone. You're the face of it. I need shots that show vulnerability and strength. Leggings, a sports bra. Maybe some shots of you stretching by the window in the break room before anyone arrives. He touched my knee. Just a graze. A fatherly pat that lingered 3 seconds too long. My skin crawled, 1,000 tiny insects moving under the surface. He wasn't looking at my resume. He wasn't looking at the quarterly projections I'd stayed up until 2 a.m. perfecting. He was building a collection, a digital trophy room, where I was the centerpiece. I'm looking at the folder now. I found it, because he left his workstation unlocked when he went to the partner's lounge. It wasn't hidden. It was right there on the desktop, labeled Project Growth. I clicked it, thinking I'd find the budget approvals I needed. Instead, I found a goddamn gallery. It wasn't just me. There were folders for Sarah from accounting, for Maya the intern, for the girl who left 6 months ago without saying goodbye. But my folder was the largest. He'd cropped the photos. He'd zoomed in on the curve of my neck, the way my blouse strained when he told me to reach for a book on the high shelf. He'd added filters that made the skin look warmer, softer. It wasn't for the board. It wasn't for the newsletter. It was a private archive of his protégés, a catalog of women he'd convinced to trade their dignity for the promise of a promotion that was never coming. The sound of his footsteps is coming down the hall now. I know that gait. Confident. Heavy. The sound of a man who owns the air everyone else breathes. I have 30 seconds. My fingers are trembling so hard I can barely control the mouse. I should delete them. I should format the drive. But I don't. I hit select all. I drag the entire project growth folder into a new email. I'm not sending it to HR. HR is his golf partner. HR is the one who told me Gary was old school but brilliant. No, I'm typing in the address for his wife. The woman who comes to the Christmas parties and talks about their daughter's equestrian lessons. And I'm typing in the address for the local news tip line. The Wellness at Work initiative is about to get the transparency Gary always preached about. He's at the door. I can see his shadow through the frosted glass. The handle is turning. My pulse is a drumbeat. A rhythmic thud, thud, thud in my ears that drowns out the world. I hit send. The little paper plane icon flies away, carrying the weight of 100 natural poses and professional headshots. The door swings open. Gary is smiling. He has a fresh coffee in his hand, the steam rising in a lazy coil. Ready for the next session? He asks, his eyes scanning me, already undressing the layers of my professional armor. I look him right in the eye, the blue light of the monitor still burning in my vision. I don't smile back. I feel the cold clarity of a person who has finally reached the point of no return. I wonder how long it takes for an email to travel across the city. I wonder if his wife is checking her phone at her desk right now. I wonder if he'll still think I have a marketable essence when the police are looking at his hard drive. Actually, Gary, I say, my voice steady even though my knees feel like they're made of water. I think I've given you all the visibility you can handle. He pauses, the smile faltering just a fraction, a tiny crack in the porcelain mask. He hasn't looked at his computer yet. He doesn't see the sent notification. He doesn't know that the walls are already closing in, that the hum of the office is about to become a roar. I stand up, grabbing my bag, leaving the laptop open, the evidence glaring back at the empty chair. I walk past him, the smell of his cedarwood cologne suddenly making me want to gag. I don't look back. I walk through the bullpen, past the clicking keyboards and the buzzing lights, out into the cold, sharp air of the street. I am unemployed. I am broke. I am terrified. But for the first time in 6 months, I am not being watched.